This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, I speak with British TV and radio presenter Angelica Bell. We will be talking about dealing with assumptions from people within the music industry regarding your gender and background, as well as the reward that you can get by taking risk in your career. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Women in Classical. Today my guest is Angelica Bell. She's a TV presenter, radio presenter, recently presenting BBC The One Show and on Scala Radio, which is a classical music station. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so happy to have you here and to be talking to you today.
Listen, thank you for inviting me. Obviously, I know about your podcast, but I was like, are you sure?
Yeah, obviously, it's amazing to have just different types of background careers around music, and I've talked about it in different episodes, but just the idea that, you know, there's so many avenues within what we do is amazing. So it's amazing to have you here. I'm a bit nervous though, because I feel
Why?
Because I'm interviewing somebody who's usually interviewing people.
Well, then if it makes you feel better, I'm a bit nervous because I don't usually talk about myself. I'm usually interviewing
roles.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, have the experience of both, so I feel relaxed now as well. But, you know, one of the things I was worried about was, you know, you are so accomplished. I've interviewed you on my show, thank you, during COVID, you know, in that time, so it's lovely to meet you in person. But I'm not a musician. You know, I haven't been through, you know, years of training to learn a musical instrument and have an art form like that. So I have utmost respect for people in the classical music world and musicians like yourself. So it's
awesome.
A real honor.
Okay, but I think we've got a lot to, you know, there's a lot to learn from people with different types of background and how we started and stuff. And I'll probably start with that, I guess. How did it all start? How did you get into presenting? How did you then get into presenting a classical music radio station?
Well, I guess maybe I should start right from the beginning, because I wasn't brought up to listen to classical music. I wasn't exposed to it. And when I went to school, I was blessed, and I always use the word blessed because that's how it makes me feel, to have been exposed to amazing teachers. So my music teacher said, you've got such a great voice. And I always liked to sing and stuff. And so I had this audition for the best choir in my school. It was the Madrigal Choir. And I remember there was a girl called Nina Jaffa who was excellent at the piano at school. She was on the piano and my music teacher, Mr. Gordon Pullen, was there. And I was singing these notes, and the next thing I knew, I was in the choir. And it was a real honour. I was like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And because of that audition and going for it, I was exposed to music by Beethoven, Mozart. I had to learn to read music quite quickly. And it was new.
Yeah.
But I just loved the way the music made me feel. And being in that choir allowed me to travel Europe. You know, I sang in the Duomo, I used to sing in St. Paul's Cathedral, places where I thought someone like me would never be in or experience, St. Peter's in Rome. And I just loved it. I loved being part of something and creating this music that people would sit up and listen to. And then also at that time at school, I started playing the cello. Now, I was rubbish.
String instruments are so hard at the beginning.
I'm glad you said that. You made me feel so much better.
I know it is. Honestly, I know.
But then for somebody who's never, I didn't know much about Beethoven, I was like, I didn't understand it. You know, I'd grown up listening to soul music, rap, and also pop music, and I was just like, I just don't get it. So my music teacher, fratello teacher, we just didn't click. But I remember that cello, I was like, okay, I'm going
to
keep it. So all
back to
through,
it later.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if I would, but I thought I'm going to keep it. It was almost like a comfort blanket. So wherever I moved, I remember when I got my first place after starting on CBBC, that cello was there. It was just there, like an ornament. And so you go through life, and I think you think about things, you reminisce,
And there's different phases. I always say there's different chapters and you'll tap into certain things at certain times. And I remember sitting in my house and looked at this cello and I thought, you have got the better of me most of my life. And we're going to change that. So I went online. I was like, I've got to find a cello teacher. Found one who happened to live near me. So it worked. And the first time I got the cello out. Esther, you would
have. No, but honestly, string instruments is that thing about them that even as, like, when you've played them for years, you leave them for like a week and you come back to, and you're like, oh gosh, like you can feel it. So it's like, yeah. So it's for everyone.
Okay. Well, I started going and I had to write the times in my diary to practice.
Yeah.
Just because I was working, you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I had little ones and stuff. So I persevered. And my cello teacher said, right, we're going to do a grade. So we signed up for grade 3 and I just wasn't connecting with these pieces. And it so happened that opposite me was a music teacher and he was head of music at a school near me. And he said, come over. And he had this gramophone and he played my pieces. And it felt all of a sudden, he was like, feel it. This is what this music was about. This is why this composer wrote
that
this.
That makes a difference.
And after that, I was like, okay, I get it. And I got a distinction for my grade 3.
Oh, congratulations.
And it was like, for me, I was like, oh. But, I mean, that's a sort of journey. But, yeah. But when I got into my choir and after that, I just loved it. I sort of embraced classical music. I've still got a cassette of, you know, Elgar's Enigma Variations played by Julian Lloyd Webber. And I've interviewed him since. So that, for me, that was a massive thing. Yeah. And I love how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
And how it doesn't matter who you are, because sometimes we're put into boxes. You know, people look at me and they think, oh, she must obviously just only like this type of music, hip hop, rap and stuff. And I love that sort of music. You know, it's my heritage. But why can't I love something else?
Yeah, no, I can really relate to that because I think it is just really about, like, it always starts like that. Usually it's about how it makes you feel. And when I started music and when I started the violin, the reason why it happened to me that I was like, the first time I made a sound with the violin, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it was just the result of feeling the something that made me feel happy and good and excited. And then it was all about playing to people and sharing that. And then sometimes with life kind of going on, you lose it or you know, you get away from that. And it's the moments when you actually realize that this is why I did it for.
Yeah.
And it always comes back to that, to be honest, you know.
Was it that feeling that it gave you that made you think, I'm going to keep practicing, I'm going to keep doing and persevering, and this is what I want to keep do for my career.
And I think, but I guess the dangerous thing was that when I went into doing my studies and practicing all these hours and having this discipline, then sometimes this part just got a bit lost and it was just like, it has to be better, 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 better. And wait, then you've just got to ask it, why did I do this in the first place?
Remember,
let's not forget.
Starting point, that little seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important.
And so how did you then go on to presenting from that?
So obviously, you know, I've been known for children's television and I've done loads of things, you know, over my career, amazing things, like opportunities, meeting people, ordinary people who've got a story to tell and that have helped me grow as a person. Mm. And I suppose in any turning point in your life, you're like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I had this random message on LinkedIn, and I don't really use LinkedIn that much, and it just said, hi, my name's Rick and I'm setting up a new radio station. It's going to be different and taps into modern life, and I'd like to have a meeting with you if you wouldn't mind. And I was like, this is random, because most people would email you.
Yeah, yeah,
or, you know, I know I don't have an agent, but they'd come via somebody. Yeah. And I just left it. I just thought, I'm just going to, you know, whatever. And then I just thought, let me go back to it. So I looked up his name and I saw that he's, you know, history of music, worked on Top of the Pops, you know, set up other radio stations and stuff. And I thought, okay, listen, I'm not cynical, you know. And you never, sometimes out of nowhere, an opportunity
that's true.
Comes. Anyway, we met up with this random
I'm laughing because you look at me
said like that.
Yeah. You're mad. You went along.
I would have done as well. So no.
We share. We've got something in common. Because you're intrigued.
Yeah, absolutely.
I met him and he said, look, there's this station. I think you'd be brilliant. And it's based around classical music. And I was like, okay, what's the catch? What is the catch? How many auditions do I have to go through? How many hoops do I have to jump through? And he goes, none. If you say yes, I want you to be on it and launch it. And I said, but how do you know I like classical music? And randomly, I put up a picture of me going to my cello exam. And I don't usually put things because nobody really knew that.
Yeah.
And that's a side of my life that I'd always kept to myself, yeah. You know, playing classical music yeah. at home or, you know, playing my cello. And so I joined a choir at some point, another point in my life and stuff. So I just kept that to myself. And I was like, okay. I didn't know anything about it, but I said yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that music should be for anyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if someone's coming to me and saying, you are going to be part of that and you could help it grow, I was like, I need to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how I became part of Scala. I helped with the launch along with Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode. And Simon Mayo, I was like, oh my gosh, Simon Mayo. And it's just opened a new chapter of my life. You know, interviewing people like you.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, no, but it's, you know, people who are at the top of their game and skilled and dedicated and producing music that just makes my heart swell. It's just incredible. I love it. I love Scala. And I like what Scala Radio does because it's about, and something I know you feel completely passionate about as well, making that type of music, that genre of music, open to anyone, yeah. whatever background you come from, economics, all that sort of thing goes yeah. out the window. It's like, if you love it,
yeah.
why can't you just tap into it? If you love it, why can't you have the opportunity to play an instrument? If you love it, why can't you go to the Royal Opera House as
yeah.
well?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's, also I think that, you know, they're coming back to the idea of, you know how you said some people have assumptions about kind of the music that you listen to in different ways. A lot of people have assumptions about like when you're into classical music and kind of you've done that all your life. And again, for example, so many people assume that I only listen to classical music or, you know, that's all I do. And it could be further from the truth, but it does take that little kind of a bit of courage to actually say yes to certain things which are in a way at the start out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, 100%.
And like quite a few times, and now it's becoming more of a thing for me in my career to do, you know, to kind of have a feature on like a pop album. But like I've had, you know, pop singers saying like, right, I've got this song, like I'd love to have a violin solo in the middle. You know, me like turning like, where's the sheet music? They're like, what? And like some of them are like, oh yeah, I don't mean music, just like listen to the song and like
just play it.
Play. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And it's turning up on the studio day and thinking, like, oh my gosh,
how am I going to do this?
How am I going to do this?
Yeah. Maybe all of us at some point think, can I do this? Can I? Am I a fraud?
It's like well, it's too late now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have to do something.
Let's just get on with it. Yeah.
And you know, it was amazing. And it's just like, it's just a different part of your brain. It's that listening to the chords that are going on. It's in a way you're improvising, you're composing, you're just coming up with something so creative and completely different side of your brain that I kind of wasn't using. But then, you know, and you kind of listen to the result. And even, I don't know, working with a voice, like with a different style of music and actually still bringing something that's got a classical style into it because it's solo violin and acoustic instrument and you bring like these genres together and it just works. And I've done it with, you know, recently with kind of different genres, it'd be pop, it'd be slam, it'd be like, and it's just, it's great. It's just brilliant because it just like, my brain just went like, wow.
Yeah.
Like.
And I think as, you know, we move into this new era, this sort of like sort of open-mindedness, we realise that there are so many crossovers in different yeah. styles of music, pop, like you say, heavy metal. You know, on my show the other day, we played a cover of Metallica and it was so beautiful, you know, orchestral cover yeah. of it. And I'm like, why can't we do that more?
Yeah.
Why can't you be playing alongside, you know, Coldplay
yeah.
at Wembley?
Yeah.
You know, what's the book? Come on, I'll be your agent. Let's make this happen, okay?
No, absolutely. Yeah, you know, yeah,
why,
course, yeah.
Why can't we do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I interviewed Laura Mvula, who, you know, studied at Birmingham.
Yeah.
And she's going to be singing the closing ceremony, Commonwealth Games. And, she, you know, she is a composer.
Yeah.
And a female. a black woman, but she loves pop music. But she has this classic, she loves classical music and you know, needs to explore that and stuff and should be given the space to do that, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. Really, really is. And I think, well, actually we talked about it, which was great, kind of those turning points in, you know, in your life. And I know you mentioned obviously the moment that, you know, that moment where, but is there any kind of particular highlights within your career that really kind of, if you think back and think, okay, it was one day where, I don't know, something special happened, or like one event in your life or professional life that really kind of stood out? I know it's a hard one.
I know it is hard because there are different moments, I think, which mean different things. I mean, even to say, you know, watching the faces of children while I'm being gunged is a moment and I'll never forget that, you know, or working on certain shows. I think, I remember once being in the home of somebody, I interviewed somebody and they had this amazing story where they had to be moved in the war to another family in Wales. And I went back with this person to that family. Wow. And, you know, saw that, and it was just so emotional. Yeah. And so there's loads of different things I've done for, you know, yeah, like that. But I guess in terms of music, just, you know, presenting,
yeah,
the Royal Albert Hall with an orchestra,
yeah,
you know, touring with loads of the BBC orchestras and bringing music to children.
There's so many.
So hard to think about it. But in terms of music, I mean, I think being at the Royal Albert Hall and presenting,
it's such a special place.
It's such a special place. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think with my journey with classical music, I think that's only more, those experiences will come, hopefully.
Yeah, of course.
As I now talk about it and people see me associated with it. Like, you know, you helping me doing this. Because I don't talk about it and not many people will know about Scala and stuff because it's growing. But I hope that it can be inclusive. You know, because sometimes I do think, oh, should I be here? Should I be in this space?
Of course.
No, but it's just...
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
And it is male dominated and... Yeah. You know, that's why, you know, we need to celebrate more women. And that's why on my show I have this thing called Donne Triple Play, where we play three female composers back to back.
Yeah.
From, you know, from all over, you know, from different times and different eras. And we need to support each other and be like, actually, you know, you can do that. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
Or you deserve to be here.
Yeah.
You're brilliant.
It's something I discovered, but when I started doing, I guess, doing this podcast and just, you know, with... starting meeting other female musicians and just women around the industry, and kind of realized that actually, yeah, you're not on your own. But for a long time, I did feel really lonely. And that's why I feel so great to talk about these things and to have this space to do that and to exchange, because you suddenly realize that actually, wait, there's so much support out there from other women, and it feels great, and it feels so good to talk about these things. I guess move on to the next thing, which is, you know, the challenges. And I always try and be really transparent about challenges in my life as a musician, on social media especially, because I always think it's quite important to show the, obviously the what you do well, but also to show the struggles and sometimes the self-doubt that you get in when you try to maybe doing something new, or even when you, because I started my social media journey when I was a student, like second year at university. So I was far from being a finished product, you know, and I was criticized for doing that because, you know, in a kind of, if you want to always be perfect before you've got to post anything, it's quite like that in the industry. You know, if it's not perfect, don't go out there, don't show it, you know, very perfectionist. And so when I was out there sharing videos of my practice and or of something that's just a work in progress, and obviously things have changed now, and you know, it's great to see so many people sharing, you know, practice stuff. And but when I started a few years ago, I was the only one out there doing, like, what, you know, within the country and stuff, and within classical music, I was one of the only ones, and it, you know, a lot of people kind of came and say, oh yeah, it's not good showing this side of things. And actually,
how did that make you feel?
To be honest, I've never felt like I had anything to lose in a way. And it made me feel happy to have a community because it brought back what, you know, when we said about the real reason why you do things. I had a really like moment when I was like, I'm not sure I even want to do this anymore. And that was my first year at college because suddenly you're an adult, like 18 years old, and then you're in that world. And I was like just in my practice room and worried on the fact that I just wasn't even good enough to make it and to ever be actually part of that world. And that's how I felt. And then I was like, wait, but maybe this, you know, maybe there's another way. And when I started sharing on social media and saw the response from people and it just brought something that it brought back what actually made me decide to do this in the first place. And to have that connection with people. And this is what I love also about doing this as well, is the actual connection with people, what you yeah. get from that, from sharing that. And I started getting with that. And I have, you know, people telling me that, you know, that it really did help to see, you know, the not only the perfect side of things, because it can be quite harmful to think that some people just, it just works. It's not like that. No. I do mistakes and I've failed so many things. And I still do. And I try and be open about it because it's just part of it. And it's just like, it's just, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn from it. And that's just it. But I think it's so nice to be open about it, open about the challenges. Yeah. And so it's like a big part of, I guess, of this interview, which is, you know, what big challenges have you been through? I think generally, but also as a woman in the industry.
I think it's really important what you say, because we live in an era now where everything is glossy.
Yeah.
It's like everything seems like it's
romanticized.
Everything. It's romanticized. Yeah. It's brilliant. And sometimes we forget about the journey. And I know people don't like talking about this word. You know, what did people have to do to get where there. They are?
Yeah.
The graft.
Yeah.
I think I'm a grafter. Yeah. And we're, in a way, we're all grafters. Some people graft more than others. Yeah. That's fine, you know. But every step I've made in my career and my life, I've had to sit back and look at the options.
Yeah.
Or I've had someone say, you're never going to make it. Or you're not good enough. And I think lots of people, you know, listen to this, that will resonate with them.
Yeah.
But you have a choice.
Yeah.
When someone says, most of the time I'm not first choice. You know, in my business, it's, you know, it seemed like the best job to have, you know, people, you know, like you, or you're on TV and stuff. But most of the time, I've never been first choice. Mm. Most of the time, the producers, you know, might have think, and that's not a bad thing, because when one door closes, another one opens, and sometimes, you know, you have to count your blessings with that. But what I've always thought is, one, if I'm not the first choice, I've got nothing to lose.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're just more relaxed.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And two, as well, I think that you have to remember that it could all end tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I've had friends pass away. I've had, you know, one minute you're earning money, next minute you're not in the freelance world. Yeah. I always think, how can I make this better?
Yeah.
I'm a glass half full person. And yeah, there's been times when people say, it's not going to work out. Or someone else has got the job.
Mm.
But I never, at the time it hurt.
Yeah, of course it does.
But I look back and I say, thank you. Thank you. I've got nothing but love for all of those people who say those things to me, because those comments, those feelings have made me the person I am and gave me the drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I really feel that. I think if I didn't feel at music college in my first year, if I didn't feel such an outsider to that world, because it really felt like that, then I would have never kind of, done what I did. And, you know, I struggled, we talked about music teachers and how important that is.
Oh my gosh, teachers are amazing.
I never really felt having a connection with, you know, in my teenage years, any of my music teachers, and that was really difficult.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. And that was really, really difficult, because when you don't have somebody that believes in you, I mean, I had, you know, my mother, like, which is obviously brilliant, but...
Actually, I did know that, because I saw on your Instagram your teacher said no, and then you were performing at the Royal Albert Hall, you did that thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Because you'd think someone with your credibility would have always had that support.
No.
And I think that's really
far from it.
Vital that you tell that story.
Yeah.
Because there will always be people who think,
people, and that's the thing, I think, and I try and emphasize that, because at school, I never got, in music school, I never got good grades. I was never the, like, you know, the, like, the one that's gonna make it.
Yeah.
The one that teachers think, yeah, he's the one that, you know, and never, absolutely never. And in a way, again, I'm thankful for that, because I, even at school, like the number of times where I felt down, when I felt like I was like in the bottom kind of, and you know, if I'm, and I really thought back then that real life was just gonna be the same, but it's very different. But what I learned back then is that, you know, I just got up again and started again. And that's such a vital skill to have.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a colleague of mine from school, and he said to me, I remember something. It's just like, I remember you, like, after a competition that you'd failed, literally the night with the result got out, you were back in the practice room. And it's just been like that. It's just like saying, you know, but most people don't see that. Some people, you know, have said to me, like, oh yeah, you just got that one viral video with you and the cast, and then that made it all happen. And I was like, so what? Yeah. Yeah. I wish it was that easy.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just, but maybe, you know, sometimes it looks like that from outside. You always feel, yeah, like people, you know, but that's why it's important to,
exactly,
show.
Exactly. And also as well, I think it's good to stress that you all, there are people in life, you always have failure or challenges. And it's sometimes easier for other people to make that switch and just keep, yeah, going. But for those people who don't, and this is what, you know, when I do talks and stuff, I say, sometimes that resolve to get back on the horse, you know, that phrase, just takes a little bit of time, but don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah. Who have been your biggest figures who have inspired you and kind of, yeah, inspired you to be where you are today, I guess? Women figures around you.
That's it. Do you know what? One person who's been quite prominent, and it's just random, is Missy Elliott. And she's a huge hip-hop star. She's a producer, music writer, and she speaks in her music. And it's edgy, and she's worked with some of the greatest, you know, hip-hop rap stars, male as, yeah, well, but stood on her own and has carved out a, you know, a place for herself. And she's incredible. So I've sort of got all her albums and just seen that woman with strength. There's nothing wrong, yeah, with a woman with strength either,
no,
has done it. So I love that sort of music. So she's one person. I think Jacqueline Dupre,
yeah,
and she was one person who made me get into the cello and, you know, want to take it up.
One
of the greatest cellists ever. I know my position. I will never be on her standard.
No, but, yeah.
And what she did in her life, in, yeah, that, you know, in her short life, but she was an inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. I had great talks with Julian actually about her, and I've recorded that piece, Jackie's song, yeah, for the album. That was really, really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, it's loads of women, just not, yeah, like, women who care for, you know, who I've interviewed, who care for their parents, who have done great things in their community. There are so many amazing women, yeah, some of them who don't get the recognition, yeah, they deserve. Mm. But I can't, yeah. You're asking me difficult questions. This is why I don't like to be interviewed.
That's what it's like now.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going to remember this.
This is kind of my favourite question in part of the interview, which is the last question, which is, if there was something that you could say in advice, or something you wish to have known earlier on that you kind of learned on later, but that an advice you could give to younger girls coming into the industry, what would it be?
Ooh, I think, okay, maybe there's two pieces of advice. The only thing you can control is you. When you reconcile that, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, but you will do what you feel is right for you. And as long as you're doing good things, being kind, and going for your dreams, just stay focused.
Yeah.
The other piece of advice Would be never be afraid to say how you feel. Mm. I think some of the times in my past I've been afraid and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't I just say that? Because you don't want to maybe lose that job.
Yeah.
You want to be seen as this or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I can feel that.
But really. Speak your truth.
Yeah.
Because those people who believe in you will just love you.
Yeah.
And those people who don't get you, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not always easy to actually find, yeah.
It's not always easy.
And I am learning that on the thing, and sometimes it's literally just coming back and you're like, I know, but why? But on the moment, you're just like...
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're like, why didn't I just do it? But hey, you know, everyone goes through that. Yeah. And so I think, and I don't think it's... Well, I think it gets easier to get older, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
But as long as you're just like, ah, hey... Everyone always says, oh, you're always smiling. I'm like, because I don't let
anything
an
effect, yeah.
And there's always a solution.
Yeah. 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 Thank you so much. I mean, I could talk to you for like hours, literally, but you're so inspiring.
I'm like
thank
this.
You so much. No, it's just brilliant. Really, really, thank you so much for
Thanks
your time.
For me. And I meant what I said, you are, do your thing, what you do. It's brilliant. And also it just makes it accessible. We need to be accessible. And that's so important. So don't forget me.
Yeah.
When you get
No, thank you so much. Thank you.